Okay, so we're going to continue in the Dina de Machusa Dina. Now, just to clarify what we're going to talk about, because the first thing that people think about when they talk about that is you have to pay taxes. But before we even get to that, that's really a sugya b'atzma. We're going to talk about other applications of it, which really come up. And again, the etzem sugya and the rishonim, very interesting question. I'll give you an example. Example is that there is a, in New York, in certain places, not as many as it used to be, but still are, there's certain apartments are rent-controlled apartments. So you can only raise X amount. So you could have two people. You have two people in the same building, on the same floor. One person's paying $700 a month rent, and another person's paying $3,500 a month rent. Because if you don't change tenants, you can't change the rent. So now, that's a law in the government, okay? Now what happens if there's a Jewish landlord, he wants to dafka, so there was a time that he would dafka want to rent his apartment to a Jewish and say, rent control. Rent control is for goyim. That's us. Between me and you, it doesn't stay nicht in Torah anywhere, a concept of rent control. I'm allowed to charge the going rate. If the guy next door to me is getting that, I'm allowed to charge the going rate. It's not oinah. And who says between us we have to follow the laws? That's just for goyim.
I thought it was the other way. $3,500. We must charge $700 because we don't have to follow the.
That's the tenant saying, not the landlord. Yeah. This is the point.
That happened on Hara Maria. That story, but in New York that didn't happen. So or for example, you know, let's say you have what comes up very very much is in Yerusha. There's one son, six daughters, and the father dies. And he lives over some sort of will or whatever. And the son says, or he doesn't live over a will. So the son says, we're not going to look to estate lawyers. Estate lawyers paskin al pi the dina de machusa. Dina de machusa, all children get equally. But we paskin al pi din Torah. Our father's will would have been, our father's rotzen is for us to follow the Torah. The Torah says the son gets it. And therefore we're following the din Torah. And that's it. Or no, we live in a country that tells you how to do Yerusha. And therefore, if it tells you how to do Yerusha, you got to follow the dina de machusa and follow it that way. Or, for example, you have a neighbor. The neighbor comes to you and says that officially the zoning law says you can only build a 6-foot fence. The other guy says, well, I want to build an 8-foot fence. I want to build a very tall fence. And it doesn't say anywhere, show me an halacha that says I can't build an 8-foot fence. If I care, maybe it's even better to build a taller fence and no one can be able to see more tznias. I'll pay halacha. Who cares about the zoning? That zoning. What does that have to do with me and you? So forget now the relationship between you and the government, taxes and all that. What about Ben-Adam L'Chaveroi? Ben-Adam L'Chaveroi, one year to another, do they have to follow the Dina Mechusa? They follow the Dina HaTorah. This is you burn down by accident or not by accident or whatever, but an ash catches onto someone's property. So we know the halacha is in Ulman Baba Kama, ash is potter and talmud. Anything which you can't see is potter. So that's Xeris HaKosef. So if ash is potter and talmud, so I don't have to pay. You'll say, well, it doesn't say anywhere in legal law that ash is potter and talmud. In the United States of America, you burn someone's stuff down, you got to pay for it. And we live in this country, we got to be good citizens, we got to follow the law, what it says. So how do we look at these cases? So these are what I want to get to, hopefully today, and if not next week, but this is the content we want to get to. So we started last week with the Gemara. The Gemara in Gittin says that kol ashtar so'ilim bar kosher of the Kavim is kosher. A star that is written in a non-Jewish court is kosher. So the Gemara says that makes sense if it's a shtar mecha, meaning to say that really it's not effectuating any kinyan. The shtar is just a raya. So you have some sort of raya because the dayanim are probably honest. But what about a shtar that makes a kinyan? A shtar that, like a matana, that you're actually transferring the ownership with the shtar. So the Gemara says it works because dina de machusa dina. Then the Gemara says ibais ema, or you could say no, itaka doesn't work. So all the Rishonim want to know, what is the second teretz saying? The second teretz of the Gemara doesn't hold the dina de machusa dina. Why does the second teretz of the Gemara say, not agree with the first teretz, that dina de machusa dina would help to make a shtar work as a kinyan? That's where we ended off last week. And we started saying two main pshatim in the Rishonim. Okay? But before we get to let's say what we said. And that was the Ritva on page 5-6. So the Ritva said two main mahalchim. Number three, I wrote down where he said the mahalchim, but it was number three and number four are the two main mahalchim. Number three is shaloi amru dina d'malchusa dina el b'dvarm sheish ben toeles l'melech. The only time you say dina d'malchusa dina is by things which are toeles for the melech. The melech makes money on that. It's toeles for the melech, taxes and things like that. That's toeles of the melech, cover of the king. You have to follow the laws that give cover or money to the government. But otherwise, there's no such thing as dina d'malchusa dina. Therefore, a shtar between me and you to give a present. I am gifting over my property to you. Nothing to do with the melech. And therefore, there's no covenant of malach. There's no toelus of the melech. We don't have to follow dina the malchus on that. And therefore, if the Torah says it's not a good shtar, even though the goyim says it is a good shtar, halachically it's not a good shtar. And if you would come to me and use the shtar to take away from my property, it's gezel. You're not allowed to follow dina the malchus in such a case. It's gezel. The person who owns the property could say, "Well, you have to show me a kosher shtar. Where you didn't? You have to show me a kosher shtar pi din Torah. And you're going to show me a legal document? It's nothing. It's gezel if you take it away from me, because you don't say dina the malchusa unless it's toelus of the melech. Now this is a specific benefit to the king from this particular inyan. That's one answer. The other answer is Rabbeinu Yoina. And Rabbeinu Yoina basically says the following. Rabbeinu Yoina says that, before I say Rabbeinu Yoina, I actually want to learn the Gemara that is going on inside. And the Gemara that is going on inside is all the way on page 14. Okay? I mean, it's on page 3 also, but I forgot to underline, so I just copied it again. Page 14. Page 14, there's an arrow there. It says like this. Plas mili ishtoili ukvan bar Nechemya. There are three things that ukvan bar Nechemya told me. Reish galus mishmeid Shmuel. Three things that Reish galusa told me in the name of Shmuel. One of them is dina de malchusa dina, that you have to follow the secular law. And then he says the following. Va'arisusa de parsoi ad mem shnin. Which basically means that an aris is someone that works on the field. Every year he work on the field, this is Sherkai, works on the field. Now basically what happens is that it looks like to a certain degree that it's his field. He's the muchzak on the field. He's there all year long, and then all of a sudden he comes along and says, "It's my field.
I've been here 3 years." Yeah.
So we know, everyone knows, that how long does it take to make a chazaka normally?
3 years,
right? So three times, three times. I don't want to say hello to you three times. A chazaka, I'm going to have to say to you three times in my life. Whatever. So three years is a chazaka normally. That if you're on the property for 3 years and the owner doesn't say anything, halachically it's a kinyan. The Gemara says that din of the machusa was 40 years. If the guy's on the property for 40 years, there's no more ma'ir on it, and therefore the halacha is that in paros. In Iran or whatever this was, in Persia, in Paras, the minhag was 40 years. Now, what is the Gemara saying that the minhag was 40 years? So, Parshat Pshat, what it's saying is that let's say there was a non-Jew who was on a Jewish property for 40 years. And the Jew owner didn't say anything. Now it becomes the non-Jews. Now, what happens is this non-Jew goes and sells it to another Jew. So Reuven owned the property for 40 years. Tom is on the property for 40 years. It becomes his. Now Tom sells it to Shimon. Now, Reuven goes back to Shimon and says, oh, you're on my property. So Shimon says, what do you mean? I bought it from Tom. It belonged to Tom. But Reuven says to Shimon, what do you mean? But halachically, it's not his. Well, I didn't give it to him. So the halach is it works. We have to follow the din of the Mahusa, and it works. So Frechter Yishoinim, what happens the other way around? Let's say it's Reuven and Shimon directly. Reuven's on the field. Reuven owns the field. And Shimon is on the field for 3 years. It's the fourth year. Now Reuven comes along and says, we live in Paras. In Paras, you don't have a chazaka. In Paras, the chazaka is 40 years. Shimon says, well, we are Yidden, and in Halacha, the Kenyan is 3 years, and therefore it's my property. So he says, well, listen, we're good American citizens. We've got to follow the law. The law says 40 years. I want it back. So who wins in such a case? Is the Gemara talking about such a case, or is the Gemara only talking about when there's a guy involved? Okay, so if you look at Rabbeinu Yoina, which is, it's now go back, it's on page 13, the page before. There's Rabbeinu Yoina, which it's also the Rabbeinu Yoina quoted in the Ritva that I said, but it's Rabbeinu Yoina. So Rabbeinu Yoina in the Shittim Kubetzes on page 13 says the following. Okay, Very important. It says like this, where it's underlined. Aval ein lefarish, the Yisrael shemachzik benichsei chaveroi be'eretz paras. Don't say that a yid who is machzik on the karka of another yid in paras, de'ein lechazaka ela barboin shnin, that it can take him 40 years to get a chazaka, not like the halacha. Why? D'stam chukei ha-melech al b'nei umasoi b'lvadin. Even the king knows, unbelievable, even the king knows that his laws are only for his people. The Jews, they have their own set of laws. I'm not going to force them to follow my laws. Let them, if they want in their community to follow their laws, that's not a problem. So the king knows that. Vafilu impirish vehitel hanagasa Yisrael. And even if he says it is applicable for a yid, kivin sheyachol Yisrael loch of his chaver bedina Yisrael, he can go to a beis din. Eina melach koyfe oisan ladun boisan adina vaminhaga shehinig.
Wow.
So the non-Jewish king or government does not force the Jews to go and follow his law. They're allowed to follow their law. Nimtza shle pakas chosha Yisrael machmas oisad dinah machusa elim. So it comes out.
If he wants, he can walk. The king can walk in when I want to do my rules, and you have to.
Fine, but he's saying right, exactly. So the Rabbi Yonah is saying, the king understands, and in your community, you can follow whatever arrangement you have. Says Rabbi Yonah. Therefore, even though the Gemara says that in Paras a chazaka is 40 years, that's only if between a Persian guy and a yid. So you're a yid. You have to follow. Listen, you're affecting my citizens. You got to follow the law of the country. Yeah. But two yidden by themselves, a vada the chazaka is 3 years. Says Rabbi Yonah. Between two yidden, you don't follow the din of the machusa.
And if one yid goes to the melech,
Ella. So Rabbi Shabbos asked, what about if he went to the melech? So he says, Ella imkein hala chaveroi ladun b'fnei arkoyi shalem. Unless they went to the court. Now, obviously, we know that we're going to get involved in that, but going to the court is a chomer thing. You're not allowed to go to a court.
A
non-Jewish court, arkois, it's a very chomer thing. It's a chil Hashem, or whatever it is. You're not allowed to go to a non-Jewish court. But if you did, or you had a heter, or whatever it is, you went to the arkois. You went to the arkois. Now, and they paskin between the two yidin, whatever the law is, then Avada, you have to follow it. Because then the Melech is Makbid. Then he is Makbid. You're coming to the court, you can't just. You want to follow your own thing, you have your own little arrangement in your vinkel over there, you have your arrangement in your community, fine. But once you're coming to court, you got to follow the court. So essentially, what Rabbi Yonah says over here is, it's totally, the way we're going to say it, is that it's totally in Hakpada. It's totally what the Melech is Makbid on. How do you translate Makbid?
What he cares about.
Okay, if he wants dafka that when you he's makbid that when you're in court you got to follow the din of the machus, but he's not makbid that between one yid and the other you have to follow the din of the machus. So that you have the right to follow the own they have to follow the Jewish law, and therefore this gemara that says the chazaka is 40 years is only when there's a Jew and a non-Jew involved. Two Jews, how do you go with the halachas?
In Tamim Ba'esh, wouldn't the king be particular that the guy be chayiv, otherwise there'll be more Aish?
Be more Aish between Jews. Let them work it out. Let them kill themselves in their community. What does he care?
The thing is...
No, but he's saying, but in the Rabbi Yonah is saying that the melech is not machbid about what happens within the community.
That's
Dina de Machusa, because that's the way he's
if the king is.
Okay, so if he's machbid, he's machbid. But the assumption is, according to Rabbi Yonah, that things which don't affect the melech are not lahanas ha-melech, they're only between the community, and they're not the arkois, so then he's not machbid.
Why would the king want to have an offset of law
I'm not babysitting. What's going on? And what about in your house? And if you make the younger kid will get a better toy than the older kid. He's going to care.
It's a concept in law. Mediation is preferred over confrontation. So.
Right. In other words, if you have a way, even nowadays it's like that. If you could start and sign that the Dayanim are arbitrators, then the legally it's binding.
Between any community, as long as they don't go to court, the king doesn't care.
Right.
In any community, if one of the two don't want to go along, then they go to court, and then the king gets involved.
Right.
With us, just so how long that we're not supposed to go to court.
But over here, they don't want to go to court. Slow. They don't want people to start. Circumventing the laws.
So you're saying there is a quad on that?
That already makes a difference.
I don't know.
No, the rights already make a difference.
Only only if he's makbid. Okay, I'm saying affected. He's makbid. He's makbid. Yeah, that's what he's saying. That's what I'm saying. So now it's like this. Now it's like this. Exactly. No, he's saying not to protect you, it's protect the next renter.
Even without him, it's protect the renter. Why the renter is just willing to just give up his money? He's not willing to do that. He's willing to do it because you're not going to sell. You're not going to
rent it.
You're not going to live anywhere. You're not going to be comfortable with that parable free roll. So
what do you mean?
Because they know that if
don't move in. I want to file. I want you. I don't want to rent it to you. You don't want it.
It's not, don't move in now.
No, don't move in.
Rent control is after a while. Meaning today, it's 700.
Oh, I don't know if that's what he was talking about. If you signed an agreement originally, then you went with that understanding. But I'm saying.
What? No.
But the point was that he wanted to hire to get Dafka. This is the tshuva written. He wanted to get a Jewish tenant so that he wouldn't be mishubit to rent control in the future. Now, Rabbi Yehuda continues. So it comes out a kula and a chumra from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's nothing to do with Te'ela. It's nothing to do with Hana of the Melech. It doesn't have to do with the Hana that has to be Te'ela of the Melech. Only taxes. Which the sheet that holds it's only taxes is a big kasha from this Gemara. Because then why in the 40 years, where does that come into Te'ela of the Melech altogether? So Rabbi Yehuda says it's nothing to do with Te'ela of the Melech. It has to do with Hakpada of the Melech. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Now, so according to Ben Yoina, what's the answer to the Gemara in Gittin? Why don't we say that a shtar matana works? Because what does a king care between two Jews? I gift you over with a non-Jewish shtar. Okay, so you don't want to go with it, don't go with it. So if you two people don't want to go, now if you take it to court, then you have to follow the court. But till you go to court, then you don't have to. And therefore, that's why the second tariff of the Gemara said that if one Jew gifts over another Jew with a secular document, it doesn't work, because dina de mukhazadina will not apply. Exactly. In such a scenario, what did the first teretz hold? By the way, the first teretz held that since it says it was a shtar that you wrote, you wrote a legal document. So you went to the arkoi to write the shtar, even though you didn't apply. So that's also enough already. Once you go to the arkoi to write the shtar, they're already machmir. That was the shayla. Very good. Now, so we have two mahalchim. One mahalch is that it's all toli in the pada of the king, and one is the toli with te'elas of the melech. So now, let's go to our examples for a second. So let's say. I have my neighbor, and my neighbor wants to tell me legally you're not allowed to build such a tall fence. It's 6 feet, and I say halachically there's no limitation. I'm allowed to build 8 feet, and we're Jewish neighbors, so don't tell me I have to follow the din of the machusa. So the halacha is between neighbors, you follow dinei Torah, you don't follow the din of the machusa.
He's not allowed to go ahead and make a machoy in any court or anything because that's against.
Well, and right, he has no het unless he gets a het from a dayan to go to a court. But once he goes to court, then you have to follow the court. Right. So. It's between them, right?
So if it's between them. You have to know each law. That's really true.
Why I think the reason
it's also because when it's sold, they don't want the next person to have a fence there.
Okay, but
they're going to care that you have a fence.
Isn't the 8-foot fence thing, 6-foot fence, isn't that because of in hurricane winds, they're more likely to catch the wind and be very dangerous?
I think it's because it's not supposed to. Okay, everyone has their own shtickle. Why it's the bottom line is that no, it doesn't make a difference though, because according to him, it has to do with where you're taking the din. If you're handling it between yourself, he's not makbid. If you're going to take it to court, then he will be makbid. We'll see the next shita maybe. No, speeding anyway. Things which are not moment.
We don't decide whether
the
government is makbid. We don't decide the table whether the government is makbid or not. The government will let us know if they're makbid.
So the word is like this. Other things which don't affect anyone else. It's just their law on you. Speed. Whatever, that's something else. Not doesn't affect Mominus. That's something else. I'm talking about between Shchein and Mominus. That's what I'm talking about. Or another example. Another example. Let's say you have a milva balpeh. This is what we're going to talk about. You have a milva balpeh. You lend someone money, balpeh, and the other guy admits that he owes the money, but he says, I paid you. So halachically, Once you say I paid you, you have a peshas or peshetter. I could have said amigu that I could have said I could have said I don't owe you anything.
Right.
Now that I said I pay you back, I'm ne'aman.
Right.
But according to the law, at least at that time, is that once you admitted that you owe it, so you owe it. So when you said you have no proof that you have no receipt, you have no proof that you paid back, you have to pay. So now you come to me and say legally you have to pay me, and I don't believe you that you paid me, and I say I have a peshas or amigu, whatever.
Right.
So then avad you go with that. Dine Torah, if the other guy takes the money, he's gzela, even though legally he has a right to the money. But Dine Torah says that he doesn't have a right to the money, and therefore it's gzela if he takes it. Because even though we live in this country, but it doesn't make a difference. L'maisa, the country gives us room to be able to follow the Dine Torah in such an example. Now, one example which comes very negeya, okay? One example which comes very negeya is like I said, Yerusha. Yerusha, do you follow the legal halachas of Yerusha inheritance, or do you follow the halach? So this was a tshuva which we're going to read inside, because the lashonis in this tshuva are so geshmak that we have to read it inside.
What page?
It's between 14 and 15, but I forgot to number it.
Do we start with 14?
I think it's after 14. After 14.
About before 15? That's the one without a number.
Without a number, there you go. The Tshuva Sarajba. Okay? So here's the Shiloh of the Tshuva Sarajba. There was a wealthy man who gave a lot of money to his daughter. Yeah? A wealthy man gave a lot of money to his daughter to get married. And he died, and the daughter died. The daughter died with no kids. The daughter died with no children. So legally, apparently, at that time, the minhag was that it goes back to her family. So, or at least that was understanding.
Father.
So it would go back to her family, and her family would get the money. But halachically, the Baal gets it. Halachically, the Baal gets the Yerusha. So apparently, the rich father went to the Beis Din in the community that they lived in. And they went to the Beis Din in the community, and he said, I want the money back, because Dina de Mahusa is, and it goes back to the father. Says the Rashba like this. Says the Rashba that, hold on. The halacha is that you go by the husband is Yerush. So let's start a little bit before I underlined it, because the Lashon is here.
Six lines, eight.
Here. Avalul Moid Mizet. It's how many lines from the underline? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. 6 lines up from where I underlined. Where it says Aval Lil Moid Mizet. Avalimun is a lech b'darchei goyim, to go and follow the goyim umishpateim. Chas v'shalom la'am kadosh linoi kacha. Chas v'shalom that we should follow their laws. V'koshkin mato yosifu lach de'lach v'nachla sa'av al bonim v'soymech al mishene kone arotzes. He's relying on this weak support. V'oise ele mapil, and he does, he follows the court. Mapil choymoy sa toira. He's knocking down the walls of the toira. V'oiker sherish shoyish v'anaf ha-toira. V'oiker sherish, and he's uprooting the whole Torah. And the Torah is going to come after you. If you become rich in this way, and anyone who thinks that they should say, "Mutter, no, I'm allowed to." What do you mean? We have to follow. It's Geneva if he does that. That means that eventually Hashem is going to give it back to the other person. And if you say such a thing, the halacha of Bukhar is batal, the chol hanachalois, v'tira shabasim abonim, and a girl will get the same as a boy, v'chlal, oiker kol dine ha-toyra ha-shleima. Zokter, u'ma lanu l'sifra ha-koydash ha-mikudoshim. What's the point of learning Torah? Shechibru lanu rebi v'achar. Why are we learning Baba Kama for? Ravina v'ravashi. Yilum duz b'neim, dine ha-goyim. Just go to college, learn law. V'ibnu lan b'amois t'luois. Instead of going sending kids to base majors, send them to law school. Be-beis majors ha-goyim, chalila, lo yitei kazais b'yisol. Not chalila to go to law school, but Khalil go to law school instead of yeshiva. So, loytia kazeis v'Yisrael chas v'shalom shama tachkar atayra aleh asak, that the Torah is going to go. That's the cost of being a lawyer.
So
he says that he has to push the kasha. I don't understand. If wherever the country you're in, you follow the din of the machusa, even between two yidin, then what's the point of baba kama, baba metzia, baba basra? Right. What's the point of learning yeshiva? Just go follow the laws, and that's and all the dayanim will just follow the local the laws of the country. So you don't have to know how to pass. You don't have to know migudi bai shasak and migudi bai lema parayti, because anyway they don't follow that. So says the Rashba, how could you do such a thing? It's going against the whole Torah if you follow such a law. I dina the machusa dina. So one second, there is a concept of dina de machusa dina. So where does that apply? If I'm telling you, you always follow the dina Torah, so how do you know when to apply dina de machusa dina? So says the Rashba, where I'm underlined over here, the kachra isi she'ena hadavarim amurim. The whole concept of dina de machusa is only said the mashu nasa bedina hamalchus. Shekol am v'am, something which is the derech of the malchus to talk about. Yesh lechukim yiduim b'dine hamalchus. V'dina de malchusa amru, dina de malko loy amru. It's nothing to do with what the king decided. It has to do with the derech of the malach. V'chomashem einoy mechukim hamlucha afa b'shirim ha'achshav ha'melachin einodin, which basically means it has to do with the takanas hamlucha. The only time you say dina de malchusa dina is by the takana of the malchus. What has to do with making the malchus a good place? So something which is the te'elis of the malchus. So that taka makes sense. That taka you say dina de malchusa dina. But something stam has nothing. It's personal. It doesn't affect the malchus at all. Even if it's not te'elis of the melech, but it's te'elis of the melucha. He says that's okay. For example, let's say streets, anything which you're looking, like you said, speeding, something which is te'elis of the melucha. That's the normal way to conduct. You know, but something which is just you know, a law that they came up with. It could go one way or the other. It doesn't make a difference. It could go this way or that way.
But what if the malchus doesn't recognize?
No, but there's no ta'elis of the malucha to say that Yerusha should go to the girl's side more than the husband. It's just that they feel that's Yashus. Right? So they feel that it's Yashus. They feel that it's Yashus that a girl should get the same as a boy. Okay, but the Torah says not like that. So therefore we follow the Torah. I don't know how you, which way you're avoiding family fights. The point is that
when you do it, it's going to be a fight.
The point is that something which is a personal thing, personal, and has nothing to do with the malchus in general, says the Rashi, there's no dina de malchusa on that. There's only dina de malchusa on the things which are ta'elas of the, which are l'takanas ha-medina.
What if someone goes to the dinner?
Yes, according to the Rashba, it still wouldn't matter.
Right.
Because nafkamina in the Rashba and Rabbeinu Yoina is, let's say in an Indian of Yerusha, you went to court.
Yeah.
According to Rabbeinu Yoina that we learned, then you have to follow it. According to Rashba, you don't.
But the dinner, once you came to us, now
it doesn't make a difference. It's gedeva if you do it. If you go to court, according to the Rashba, you go to court and you file an estate case, whatever, and then claim, and then it's decided to go one way. And the other party's not maskim, and he goes ahead and takes it based on his right in court. It's Geneva.
What if the din of the Rashba says it's illegal for you to take care of this on your own, in your own based din?
So I'm saying, so this is all that's all going in Rabbeinu Yoina. No, first of all, that's not true. In the United States, if you sign arbitration, no, you make the based in arbiters, and then it's binding.
That's correct. Depends on what the situation is.
Okay, so in general,
decide that on everything.
Okay, and I think in general that's true. I mean, we have plenty of lawyers here that can tell you.
Any civil thing that doesn't involve the state, you can make an arbitration. As long as it doesn't involve the state.
I'm just saying is that the difference between the difference between the Rashba and Rabbeinu Yoina is that according to Rabbeinu Yoina, if in a state claim you went to court, you have to follow the court, dina de mochus adina, and if you take it, it's fine, it's yours. But according to the Rashba, if you went to court on a state claim, it doesn't make a difference. The Rashba the dina de mochus doesn't go on that. Dina de mochus is going on things which are to elis of the malchus. A malchus has to have certain things in place. Malchus doesn't care. Why does the Malchus have to have an opinion about Yerusha? It has nothing to do with the Malchus. And therefore, the Yerusha, you would follow the Dinei Torah. And forget, if you go to court and you follow, and the court says you're right, and you go ahead and take the money, it's Geneva, according to the Rashba. So you have a right, I'll pay Alakha to take it back.
They don't have a right. For sure, they want you to follow them. It's a taxable event.
Right. There's taxes either way. That doesn't necessarily matter. Who's they?
The government doesn't have a right.
It means we don't have. We're not mashubit to follow the government on things which are not don't affect the government, which are civil between according to the Rashi.
It's a mediation between.
If they disagree, even if Dinu Mahusa says, "I'm sorry, you can't do that."
Right.
You do have a disagreement.
I'm saying an example. There's a fight between two Yarshim, a son and a daughter. They go to court, and the court says split it 50-50. If the girl takes half the money, it's Geneva, according to the Rashi, because halachically says it all goes to the son. That's all I'm saying. It means that she can't say, "Oh, Dina de Mahusa, you have to let me have it."
Right, but the government could still say,
I'm not saying what's government going to do. I'm saying halachically what you follow, what your mashukh is about. So, for example,
that's only if, from the beginning, the government says, okay.
So, we mentioned the Shiloh. We'll end with it. Now, Lemaisa, we heard a Shiloh. We mentioned the Shiloh last time. We mentioned the Shiloh last time that legally, apparently, a licensed realtor is not allowed to give a kickback of any sort of commission fee to a non-licensed realtor. So now there's apparently, if it's not commission, it's okay, but if it's commission, it's a problem. So now the question someone asked me, he says, you know, if I have a way to give it to him, you know, is that okay? I have a way to give it to him and circumvent the law. So is that okay? He's a yid. All three parties are yidden over here. I mean, buying it from is not, it doesn't matter. This is between us. So do I have to follow that? So now, obviously, in this whole discussion, we're not discussing the Chel Hashem aspect, and if you have to lie, you know, if you're going to have to sign something that says you didn't do that, and you did do it, then lying is lying, obviously. I'm not saying that. And obviously, you're not allowed to sign anything which is not true, and Chel Hashem aspect. I'm saying, as far as purely from the perspective of the Sugya of Dina de Mahusa, not Lamaisa, but at least from the Sugya of Dina de Mahusa, so what's the pshat in this thing that they can't do it? The pshat is that the realtors got together, basically, the union, you know, it's important to have licensed realtors, and that they should be able to do the business.
Sales are proper.
Right, because, like, that's like first. So anyway, so I heard a shir. So he was saying on the shir that that's not ta'elos of the, first of all, it's not ta'elos of the malchus, that's for sure. And it's not any of the malchus. What?
Isn't any of the malchus?
Why?
Fees, because the malchus has a concern that only certain people who show a knowledge and that have passed certain tests and background and honesty are involved in selling real estate.
No, that's not the only reason. Because what if you have a person that's buying a house from the realtor, right? And the realtor says, "Listen, you're not going to get this mortgage, right, unless you show this certain level of income or whatever the case is." So he'll give him a kickback, right, to cover that side of the mortgage so that he qualifies. That's the only way he gets the sale.
And then if the state finds out, the guy loses his license and goes to jail.
Right.
Right. So the point is, they don't want people out there that are just, who do this as a matter of a living, cheating and beating the rules or whatever. So they give you a thing of it. If you want to keep your license, it holds you into place that you shouldn't be such a low life, because you don't want to lose your license and lose your parnasa.
But I mean, it's still civil.
No, there's criminal.
No, in a way, they look at it as protection of the common people.
It's civil.
That Nebuch, a guy who knows nothing and has just money and wants to buy a house, should be able to do so with some level.
Okay, but the point is so you're saying it's to protect us.
Otherwise, the shark is wrong.
It's a borderline thing because you could argue that that's the way they look at it, and it's not necessarily
the
to protect
union of the realty people who do it. It's the government who insists on the licensing. It's not that the...
What's the purpose of it? That's the question.
The purpose is to protect
the public.
To protect the
public. Okay, so if it's to protect the public, it's one thing. If it's just that, you know, it has to be an industry that's somewhat... We keep an eye on it or whatever, but it's not necessarily to Elis of the Malchus. And now, this, all these things are going to end up being a gray area. Exactly.
How did you possibly push it?
By us, the Malchus supposedly is the public. It's we the people. So the Malchus is supposed to.
Okay, that's a separate issue. Okay, so the bottom line is that the question that we have to get back to next week is, so how do we pass them? We have three shittas over here. We have the shitta of the Rabbeinu Yonah that anytime you go to court, you have to follow it. But out of court, if they're not makpid, it's okay. We have the shitta of the Rashba, which seems to be that you don't have to follow it if it's not telos of the Malchus. And then we have, it's not the purpose of the Malchus. And then we have the most lenient shitta, just the things, just taxes, which is telos of the Melech. And anything which doesn't give a kickback to the Melech, you don't have to follow Bechlal. So now,
that also the Rashba?
Although the Rashba is telos of the Malchus, it's more broad.
The first one, wasn't that also the Rashba?
It was Ritva.
Ritva.
Yeah. So the question is, how do we paskin in regard to this? It comes up in Yerusha and all these other cases. So we're gonna try to see how we paskin in a few other cases that came up, and eventually we have to get into the the next step, which is taxes and
We have a similar